Now it's Food Friday, and today we're going to get to know one of the great Latin American food cultures that often gets overlooked here in the U.S. Puerto Rico has a rich culinary tradition that was disrupted by colonization but remains strong in those who take the time to continue it. And our next guest is at the forefront of those efforts. She's here to bring her family's Puerto Rican cooking to our kitchen. And you can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about Puerto Rican cuisine? Have you had much Puerto Rican food in your life? And what are some of your favorites? What would you like to try? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. You can always post on the Ideas Network Facebook page as well. Ileana Maisonet is the first Puerto Rican food columnist in the U.S., and her new cookbook is called Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook. Ileana, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
And let's just start with how you got started in the kitchen and a little bit of your history, if you would. What made you so, what got you cooking authentic Puerto Rican foods?
Well, first of all, I think I would be careful when we use the terminology authentic, because authentic to me is not necessarily authentic to other Puerto Ricans, because everybody does things differently. I think that I started to really dive into my grandma's recipes when I finished culinary school in 2009, so...
Yeah, and that's part of your book, Diasporican, is the diversity within the Puerto Rican community and how that's reflected in your food and also in your cookbook. It's not just a cookbook. It's also a memoir. It's a story of you, but it's also the story of Puerto Rico itself. How did it all come together for you?
Well, you know, I just feel like it's almost impossible to talk about Puerto Rican food or really – kind of any food in general without talking about the history of things, because the history is what created kind of the unique diversity that is Puerto Rican food, you know, like, and I feel like that's why a lot of people don't really know anything about it, because, you know, people like things to be in a nice little tight, unique box because it's easy to understand, but that's not Puerto Rican food.
So if that's not what Puerto Rican food is, Ileana, tell us, how would you describe it?
Well, for me, which is the reason why my book is called Diasporican, is, you know, I'm cooking Puerto Rican food out of Northern California, which is where I was born and raised, you know. So the way that my grandmother did it kind of changed, you know, from being in California and having to work with what she had. So if we're going to make things like pasteles, which is a really traditional and old Puerto Rican recipe, that's pretty much like, you know, indigenous, usually it's wrapped with banana or plantain leaves, and now they do plantain leaves and parchment paper, but she did neither. She wrapped it in foil because aluminum foil was a lot easier and more economic. And that's how I make pasteles. But, you know, if I'm talking to somebody in Puerto Rico on the island and I say that, it's an abomination.
So it really does run the gamut. Ileana Maisonet, our guest for this Food Friday, talking about Puerto Rican cuisine and asking you what you've tried and what you've enjoyed and what you're curious about trying. Let's take your calls now at 1-800-642-1234, where Scott in West Bend standing by. Scott, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you like? What do you know?
Okay, so last January we went on a trip to Puerto Rico, and I got to try a lot of the different foods there, but I have to say my favorite is mofongo. It's mashed plantain. It's kind of similar to mashed potatoes, but it's even better, and a lot of times they'll serve it with a protein, like we would eat it with chicken a lot. So good. I just love mofongo.
Mofongo. Ileana, tell us about it.
So mofongo is a dish that's pretty, I would say it's one of the older recipes. It's made out of, there are different types, mofongo, bifongo, bifongo, and trifongo. Mofongo is just mashed, fried, green plantains, and then if you add like another tuber to it, like yuca or ripe plantains, then it becomes a bifongo, b being bi meaning two. Mm-hmm. And if you add like the green, the yellow, and like yuca, then it becomes the trifongo, and now you have like three of them. It's mashed and it's usually stuffed or topped with like shrimp criolla, which is like a red sauce garlicky shrimp, or sometimes fried chicken, sometimes fried pork.
It sounds delicious. Now you mentioned the garlic. What are some of the flavors that that your pantry has, Ileana, that if we wanted to try some Puerto Rican foods, we'd want to make staples of our pantry?
The things that I always keep on hand, and I feel like almost every Puerto Rican will always keep on hand to make Puerto Rican food, is garlic, obviously, tomatoes, canned tomato sauce, or if you're in the UK or Australia, then you're going to use passata because you don't have access to tomato sauce, and sofrito. Sofrito is just like the base herb blend to all of our savory cooking. It has cilantro or culantro, garlic, onions, peppers, and tomatoes, which is a kind of a controversial ingredient.
I'm sorry, why is it controversial?
Because not everyone uses tomatoes in it. A lot of people don't think that tomatoes belong in it, but there is a difference between sofrito and recaito. Recao is the word that we use for culantro, which is what we used before we found cilantro. You know, they're two different things, of course. And I just personally find that adding tomatoes, once it cooks down, it's almost the same with it. If you would add the reason why you're adding tomato sauce, like it kind of just adds a nice, like a sweetness and a juiciness to it.
It sounds like no matter what recipe you bring up, there would be some debate around whether or not this is the way to do it. These are the ingredients for
exactly. Everyone has their own way of doing it. And the thing is that every Puerto Rican says that that is the way that it should be done. When mostly you should be saying, this is how my family does it, and this is how I like it, instead of saying, this is how it is, punto, period.
I think I would enjoy some of those debates, and then being the taste tester to be able to try them out. I just wouldn't want to be the judge and have to say one is better than the other at any point. So tell me some of the feedback. I mean, just to remind folks, your book was named one of the best cookbooks of 2022 by the New York Times. But I am curious, considering what we've just talked about, what some of the feedback might have been so far from others who were like, that's not how we do it here.
Well, I think the reason why I think that I have already gotten all of the negative feedback early on in my career when I wrote as a columnist for The Chronicle. I already got a lot of those emails back then. So I think a lot of those, I've kind of weeded out a lot of those purists, the traditionalists. But I also think that I got away with a lot because I called the book Diasporican, because it's coming from a perspective of the Puerto Ricans here that are living stateside, as opposed to the Puerto Ricans that are living on the island. So I'm not necessarily talking to the Ricans de la Isla. I'm talking to all the ones here, and all the ones here, their experiences are very similar to mine. So they totally understand.
Well, and that too seems to be reflected quite well in your book, Ileana, because it seems as though, as I go through these recipes, there are just not a lot there that I wouldn't be able to pick up at a local grocery store and take home and make my own.
Right, exactly.
What would be an easy one for me to try? Something that, you know, would be a basic level, 100 level course of Puerto Rican cuisine.
I always tell people to start with the carne guisada, but I tell them to start with pollo guisado, which is made with chicken. If you're going to make it with like beef, then it's called a carne guisada. If you make it with chicken, it's called pollo guisado. I always tell people to start there because chicken is so readily available and because it's so affordable and everything that goes into it you can find at any grocery store across the country.
Pollo guisado, take us through it a little bit.
So all you do is, if you want to, you can fortify what's in the sofrito by first sauteing like onions and garlic, which I usually do. Mm-hmm. And then I will sear off some chicken thighs. Sometimes if I'm in a rush, boneless, skinless chicken thighs, because the prep's already done for you. Sure. And then I add a little bit of tomato sauce, a little bit of water, some olives, some olive brine. And then I'll let that braise for like 40 minutes or until the chicken is tender. And then right towards the end, that is when I will add my sofrito, because I feel like it kind of serves a more kind of vibrancy, more kind of like a herbal punch. You know, you can taste all of the herbs that are in the sofrito. And then I usually make it and serve it over white rice.
It sounds delicious, and it's all part of her new cookbook, Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook from our guest, Ileana Maisonet, food columnist and author, and we're talking about Puerto Rican cuisine, and we invite you to join our conversation. Do you have any connections to Puerto Rican culture? And if you've been to Puerto Rico, what did you try that you'd like to try again now that you're back home? Tell us your experiences. 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. This week's Food Friday continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our talk with Ileana Maisonet. She was the first Puerto Rican food columnist in the U.S. Her new book is called Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook. And we want to hear what you think at 1-800-642-1234. What would you like to try? Is Puerto Rican cooking a part of your family tradition? And what experiences have you had with Puerto Rican food? Join us. And if you have any questions, we've got the expert here, but evidently, you know, it can run the gamut. So it's all to taste and from family passed down from generation to generation, as our guest details with us this afternoon. The number again, 800-642-1234. And we covered pollo guisado here, Ileana, and I wrote down olive brine because that's something, why have I not put that in my food before? That sounds like a wonderful way to add a little bit of punch to just about anything. But when I'm looking for other recipes, some can, as you write in your book, some can take years to come up with, like Mallorcas. Can you explain a little bit of these and why the recipe, developing this recipe, took so long for you?
Oh, because I'm not a baker. I'm born a baker.
Well, that's easy.
It's really that simple. I'm just a horrible, horrible baker. You know, I think that a lot, there are not, at the time, there weren't a lot of recipes available for Mallorcas, because the two places that are really well known for Mallorcas in Puerto Rico are obviously very protective of the recipes. Mm-hmm. They're also both very old. One of them is like 100 years old. It's still open in Old San Juan. And so the recipes that were available, I started to think that a lot of people were not testing the recipes that they were writing. So the first couple of times that I tried it, they were, you know, really bready and very dry, and they were not reminiscent of the Mallorcas that I had. So I knew that that wasn't the recipes that I needed to, that I was going to settle on. So that's why I was trying to mimic the ones that I knew.
And you've got that in your book.
I think so.
And would I'm not a baker either, but it doesn't seem like it's so complicated that I couldn't give it a try and see if I can come up with something.
No, you can. I mean, it's still going to be a pain, in my opinion, but it might be worth it. It depends.
Let's go back to your calls now at 1-800-642-1234, where Celia in Madison joins us. Good afternoon, Celia.
Good afternoon. I am a huge fan of Puerto Rico. I've been there twice, to Boquerón and Vieques and the Ponce de Leon restaurant in New York. And I always eat Goya beans, especially the black ones. But my question is, at the restaurant in New York years ago, I had Spanish green sauce, which is different from the Italian. And I did find a recipe for it, but now I've lost it. What are the greens in Spanish green sauce, specifically made by Puerto Ricans?
Great question. Ileana?
I'm assuming she's talking about sofrito, because in, you know, Italy and Italians, they have their own sofrito, and we have our sofrito. But the green version is what I was talking about earlier, which is the recaito.
And that would, I remember the garlic.
Right, so it has the cilantro, the recao, the garlic, the onions, and the peppers.
So does sofrito sound about right to you, Celia?
Even about this, it was a sauce, and you couldn't distinguish the leaves of anything. That's what made it different.
Huh. Interesting. Any idea, Ileana?
Nope.
Interesting. But so you mentioned, and Celia, I appreciate the call, because you mentioned the Spanish green sauce and the Italian green sauce, and it comes with this complexity of cultures that is reflected in the food. And how does this complexity of Puerto Rican culture reflect itself in the food as you see it and you cook it, Ileana?
Well, it's just like what I said earlier. Just because you have a sauce at a Puerto Rican restaurant doesn't mean that it's a Puerto Rican sauce. It can be particular to that particular restaurant.
Sure, sure. And, you know, your book also lays out some of the traditions and methods that are central to Puerto Rican cooking. What are some of the most important practices that, you follow in your work?
You know, I just try to follow my grandma's recipes because that's what's true to me. That's my own experience, you know. And I just, being from Northern California, I just try to use the freshest ingredients possible because that's how I like to cook, and that's, I like to support my local farmers, and I like to go out to the farmers market and stuff like that. So those two things are just things that I usually abide by.
And when we talk about, you know, the Spanish green sauce, the Italian green sauce, part of this is not directly mentioned, but let's bring it up, the colonization and how, what kind of impact that has on Puerto Rican culture and food.
Right. Well, I'm not sure what Italian green sauce has anything to do with Puerto Rican sauce at all. I'm totally baffled by that. I don't know. You know, like, as far as colonization goes, what we have, as you can clearly see, is like a huge Spanish influence, African influence, and then our indigenous influence, which is what most Puerto Ricans like to say that they are made up out of: Taino Indians, Africans, and the Spaniards.
There's another recipe that looks easy to me. Ileana Maisonet, our guest for this week's Food Friday, food columnist and author of the cookbook Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook. Forgive me if I mispronounce this, Ileana. Funche? Is that how you pronounce it?
Funche.
Funche. Yeah, yes. This looks like I could do this. Tell us about it.
Well, funche is just like what a lot of people would call porridge. It's made out of cornmeal, mm-hmm. and you can add water if you don't have access or money for milk, or you can use milk. Most of the time it's made with coconut milk, and it can be eaten for breakfast with like cinnamon and brown sugar, but it can also be eaten as a base for like I use it for my shrimp and grits, but it's also used with like a bacalao stew.
Shrimp and grits. That speaks to me. Let's continue with your calls now at 1-800-642-1234 for our guest, Ileana Maisonet. Lori in Beaver Dam, good afternoon.
Hello. I just wanted to comment your speaker comment on lechon, I believe it's called. I've been to Puerto Rico twice, and we love searching for the, I think it's like a rotisserie pig. They do the whole pig, and it seems like it's only on Sundays, but it's delicious.
Sunday rotisserie pig in Puerto Rico, Ileana?
Well, so lechon is spit, our traditional pig. It's spit roasted over an open fire. There is an area in Puerto Rico called Guavate, El Calle, which is like, it's like just, they have a long, it's called the Ruta de Lechon. So it's just a entire road of various different lechons that you can go and visit. And everybody kind of like, you know, battles each other for like the best lechon. It's in the mountains, and I don't think that that's just on Sundays. I feel like some of them are also open during the week. Well, I know some of them are also open on the weekdays. Most of them are open on Mondays, or I mean Saturdays and Sundays. And we typically roast pigs for like special occasions and the holidays, just because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Let's go now to Melissa in Mequon, who joins us. Melissa, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. What do you have for us?
Well, I am just desperate to find some authentic culantro seeds. And I'm just wondering if there's a recommendation of an online place or, you know, somewhere to source them.
Authentic cilantro seeds. Ileana?
No, culantro seeds.
Culantro seeds. My apologies. Yeah.
You know, I don't particularly know a source. I know they're available online, but you could try. Google is your best friend, as I tell everyone.
You can Google that. One of the other cooking aspects of Puerto Rican food is deep frying. And so how prominent is deep frying in Puerto Rican cooking, Ileana?
I personally don't think that it's that prominent. When we're talking about frituras, they are mostly like special occasion party holiday snacks. You know what I mean? The reason why I think that there's, and it just seems like maybe it's prominent because there are so many varieties, but that's because they're so easy and quick to make. And you really only get them in Puerto Rico when you're on the beach, because it's a quick snack to have, and it's a perfect accompaniment to an icy cold beer.
Mm, yes. What with your book, Diasporican, what are your hopes for it? And it came out last year, but, you know, what do you hope folks get from it when they open it up?
I think what I am always talking about, that there is no one way to make Puerto Rican food. Your way is not the way.
Even my way would not be the, I mean, obviously my way would not be the way, but it's not, wouldn't be the wrong way necessarily. It's, so what makes, is it what tastes right for you? Is it what the family has passed down to you? How do you define it, you know, from your cookbook, what is Puerto Rican food?
It's all of that. It's how, it's how you remember it. It's how you enjoy it. You know, like, there are always going to, because there are always going to be similar components to all of our recipes with like little minute tweaks. So it still kind of exists in the way that it should.
And I've got to ask, what are you cooking next? What's in your kitchen and what are you getting ready for?
Well, it's Lent, so I am a cultural Catholic, so I will be cooking fish tonight.
give us some idea. How are you going to be cooking it up?
I'm just going to make my fish. I'm making some cod with just a, like, lemon, a lot of lemon, because that's how I like it. And I'll be using my adobo seasoning that I made with a company called Burlap and Barrel. It's a salt-free adobo. And we also have a sazon, and we're the only sazon on the market that uses wild achiote directly from Puerto Rico.
So you're just taking your own spices and use them, and you make it very easy for the rest of us, Ileana.
It's super easy. All it is just cod, lemon, adobo, some butter. I'm literally going to put it in a foil packet and put it in an air fryer.
Oh, Ileana, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Ileana Mazanet, the first Puerto Rican food columnist in the U.S., with us today to share her new book, Diasporican, a Puerto Rican cookbook.